And welcome to the HalfGuarded.com Power Hour. I'm your host, Zachary Gilbert. This is my co-host, Daniel Ford.
Hey, Teddy.
Classy, Dan. We're back here from Christmas. How did your Christmas go?
I got two different first aid kits.
Ooh. I got a box of 48 Snyder's pretzels. So.
Good. That's good.
Yeah,
I think I received my Christmas this year was two different first aid kits. One seems to be mostly for wasp bites and spiders and scorpions. The other one was just like your standard bandages, tourniquets, that sort of deal. But a pair of snake boots. Ooh. Are you familiar with the concept of snake boots?
Yes.
The knee-high boots that are supposed to protect you from the fangs of the dreaded ground stalker.
So are you moving to Australia?
I think we've mentioned in the show before, I'm a real estate appraiser, which sometimes means that I have to go into like screwed up areas and places, homes that, as I like to call it, have been surrendered to nature. But I don't think I needed 17 first aid kits and you know, remove a bullet, you know, kits. Instructions. I don't think I needed that. I'm not going to be a medic in World War I, but I'm prepared for that now.
And unfortunately, we won't have the NFL roundup this week, but due to technical issues. But one Christmas gift I got was the Atlanta Falcons sitting in the second seed now in the NFC. So, nice little Christmassy present from West Falcons, to Seattle Seahawks.
Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'd be remiss if I left out the best gift I got this year. Was 3 6 packs of various beers from the state of Georgia. Don't know where those came from. Santa left those for me.
Some guy. Not me, because you can't ship alcohol through FedEx legally. So it wasn't me.
Sure.
I wouldn't do anything like that. But Dan, it was any. Before we kind of get into this big week of bowl, this is like the best weekend for bowls, obviously. Anything from the past holiday weekend bowls that really got you? Like Hawaii Bowl gets you excited, or
the ACC is doing well. Like that's to me the story so far, is that the ACC is showing off that they're cut above the rest so far. They're the standout conference.
Yeah, I think most people would argue. Bowls. Yeah, I think most people would argue coming out of things, ACC was probably the best top to bottom conference there was. Maybe not as top heavy as some and. You had FSU and Louisville kind of not really live up to what how good we thought they'd be. But top to bottom, ACC is pretty solid.
Yeah. Bill Connolly's F+, I think, had ACC at the top. Ahead of the SEC, strange. Like they had Bill Connolly's is ACC, SEC, and then Big Ten. Because the bottom of the Big Ten is dragging them down. Yeah. Obviously, the Big Ten has the biggest number of elite programs, but the bottom of it is not so great. The ACC, I think, has the most solid top-to-bottom conference, and you look at the hires the ACC has made over the last 2 to 3 seasons, it's not a surprise. They've made the best hires in college football the past couple of years, and it's paying dividends.
But let's kick off. We got a big episode of just looking at all the bowls, you know, starting with Thursday. So let's kick off Thursday, 2:00 on ESPN, the Birmingham Bowl, South Florida, South Carolina, the battles of the Souths. Who are we liking here? South Florida, 10-point favorite.
I went back and forth on this game a lot because my number one rule in picking bowl games is avoid teams that just lost their coach.
Yeah,
because that always you almost always end up with screwy guys not knowing what they're doing because they don't necessarily know what their status is going to be. You don't know who your coaches are. You know, it's oftentimes a mess. But flip side of that is that Will Muschamp and South Carolina are not very good at all, and South Florida's got a great coach coming in. So it's not like they've already hired a new coach. Now he's not coaching this bowl game. But they don't have that same, like, weird indecision, you know, hanging over them that a lot of, like, Houston knew who their coach was, too. I'm going to go with South Carolina. I don't like it. I'm not comfortable with it. I'm doing it because I feel like I'm being forced to. But,
yeah,
I would stay away from that game if I was the betting public.
Yes. And then after that, we'll have your favorite bowl, the Belk Bowl. Arkansas, Virginia Tech favored by 7. I don't hate Arkansas here, though.
I think Virginia Tech's going to whoop them.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a good old-fashioned whoop
them. I don't hate Arkansas here, but I've never loved Virginia Tech all year. Maybe I just kept underrating them, but...
Arkansas's defense is so bad. And, yeah. I mean, Virginia Tech's offense has been a work in progress all year, so it's not like that's the strongest part of their team. But, like, Arkansas's defense is a sieve. And Arkansas's offense, like, they're not even good at running the ball, which is really weird for a Bielema team.
Yeah.
But I think if you try to come in and Bud Foster and be one-dimensional, he's going to eat you up. So I this feels like a blowout win for Virginia Tech to me.
All right, then we'll move on to the main event for Thursday, if you will. Oklahoma State, Colorado, the Valerio Alamo Bowl.
I feel like every bit of that was mispronounced.
It was. Colorado, a 3-point favorite.
Colorado. Yeah. You mean Colorado?
Colorado. And I like Colorado to get the. I like him to blow him out here.
Yeah, I do too. One of my other rules this year has been bet against the Big 12.
Yeah.
Because like they did so poorly at a conference, it just feels like, you know what? I don't believe in you as a conference. Yeah. So I'm just gonna keep betting against you until somebody proves until you guys prove that y'all can beat anybody. I'm taking everybody against y'all, and you know, if this spread was higher, I might consider Oklahoma State, but it ain't, so I'm not.
But funny you bring up the Big 12, because in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, UGA, TCU, it's basically a pick 'em. I like TCU there. If any Big 12 team's going to win, give me TCU.
I win with Georgia because of my Big 12 rule, but I will not be shocked to be wrong on that one. Because obviously, as we've talked about all year, this has been a very bad year for Kirby Smart in year one. But TCU, low-key had just as disastrous a disappointment of, I mean, because they were picked to be a Big 12 champion. Like, they were on a lot of lists of this team could win the conference, you know, and they just farted all over this season. And I would rather have a major disappointment from the SEC than a major disappointment from the Big 12.
Yeah. And
that's my logic.
And that game's Friday at noon, so this kicks off a whole day of bowls on Friday. It's going to be a nice little Friday. Then 2 o'clock on CBS, the Hyundai Sun Bowl. Stanford takes on UNC. Stanford 2.5-point favorite. No Christian McCaffrey. No problem. Give me Stanford. And I like him to win by a lot here. I think this is going to be an ugly game.
The story of the Helios Bowl, as I like to call it, every year is that which team is able to cope with the disappointment of being in El Paso more. And I always bet on Stanford to be able to handle weird coaching situations. I always trust their players to get through those kind of moments. I trust their coaches to be prepared for it more than I do maybe some other coaching staffs. And I especially against the Larry Fedora team, who are famous for nosediving and him not being able to get his teams up for weird situations. I just don't think this Carolina team, after they won the Coastal last year, they were most people's pick this year. They've got a quarterback people are saying is going to be a top pick in the NFL, and they're going to be excited to go play in El Paso.
Yeah.
I just don't see that, whereas I see Stanford's coaching staff being more capable of having their team ready to play. Plus, like, Stanford, like, wrote the book on defending up-tempo offenses. Like, they had to defend... They successfully defended those really good Chip Kelly defenses. Like, they know what the hell they're doing. Tempo's not going to be... Like, it's not going to be startling to them. They play Cal every year, and Cal's, like, the fastest tempo team in college football. So I think a lot of the stuff Carolina does to move the ball, Stanford's going to have... is going to be ready to play that. Yeah. So.
And I think Stanford will travel well, even though they're going east. But they're kind of meeting in the middle here in the Sun Bowl.
That's the other weird thing about the Sun Bowl is every year it's an ACC versus Pac-12 team, which means neither team has any idea what they're doing there.
Yeah.
And they're both like 1,000 miles away from any alumni.
Yeah. They're both just really disappointed. But then at 3:30 on ESPN, Nebraska, Tennessee, and the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. Tennessee 6.5-point favorite. Tennessee's in turmoil. Give me Nebraska all day.
Oh, hell yeah. And Nebraska's not even that good. That's the other funny thing. And I'm still taking them because Tennessee is just like, Tennessee is, our coach is going to be on the hot seat all next year mode.
Yeah. And we all kind of hate him.
Yeah.
So it's a weird.
Like, everybody hates everybody else. There was a, I think we've mentioned it on this show before, but the big juicy 247sports.com thing that Wes Rucker wrote about dishing on everybody's, you know, everybody's problems within the program, and it was this big juicy gossip thing. And it's like, when those kind of articles are being written about your program, shit is not going well.
Yeah. So yeah, I like Nebraska there, and Tennessee will be something we'll kind of watch throughout next season and kind of watch that program implode. Next up, in the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, the United States of America takes on the Air Force. Wait, I'm sorry. The University of Southern Alabama takes on the Air Force in a game.
I was about to say, what kind of Civil War situation are you postulating?
We have some sort of Civil War situation as the United States of America. We'll take on the Air Force Academy. Air Force favored by 13.5. I don't know anything about South Alabama, but I know Air Force had a pretty good year. Give me
South Alabama's going to get killed. Yeah. South Alabama's, they beat Mississippi State in week one.
That's right.
And then proceeded to lose to, like, three of the worst teams in the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
They managed to end up bowl eligible, but some stats people said that North Texas, who played on the day that we're recording this, they played Army today and lost. Mm-hmm. Some people said North Texas was the worst team that made a bowl. Others say South Alabama. So, I'm going with the Air Force.
Yeah. And I'm not sure what network this is. It says ASN. Is that the Armed Services Network? Do we even get that?
I think that's the Armed Service Network. Yeah, I believe that is.
So, civilians don't even get that game. So, I would...
I guess maybe it'll be on local TV. I'm not sure.
I don't know how that works.
This thing is syndicated like an old episode of Baywatch or Xena Warrior Princess.
So check your
local
CW
listings. Check your local listings for the Armed Forces Bowl.
But we do know what channel this game comes on. The Capital One Orange Bowl. Michigan. Florida State. Michigan favored by 6.5. Dan, you probably like Michigan in a blowout here. I'm not sure Michigan cares about this game.
Oh, Jim Harbaugh always cares about all games. Especially after the way their season ended, the bad taste they left in their mouth. Yeah, I think they're going to be ready to play.
If it was anyone but FSU, I don't know if I'd love Michigan here. But FSU's been kind of weird to say that for a non-N3 team, but they kind of feel like a disaster.
They're weird. There's a weirdness hanging over that program. Or feels like multiple coaches want to leave, and I don't know. I'm kind of surprised Jimbo didn't take the LSU job, to be honest with you.
Well, so but you like Michigan there?
I like Michigan there. I think they're going to come to play. I think they're going to be ready to scream that they should have been in the playoff. And the other thing is that we kind of know what Florida State does against elite teams. They're not. Like, they're a step below that. And I think Michigan is in that elite category. They just choke their balls off against Iowa and Ohio State. But
funny you bring up LSU and an elite-ish team FSU lost to. Because on New Year's Eve Day, we kick off the best day for bowls, kind of. The Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl. LSU, Louisville, LSU favored by 3.5. I'm not sure I love LSU here.
I'm confused by that game because Louisville has kind of been playing like, oh, our season didn't go the way we hoped it would. Fart. Like, losing to Kentucky sort of makes you go, ooh. If you guys weren't up for playing Kentucky, are y'all really going to be up for this bowl game? Yeah. The flip side of that is that I think I'm going with LSU because LSU's offense, it doesn't have Matt Canada yet. But the system that they sort of used throughout the season of power running out of the shotgun, it worked on basically any mediocre defense they played. It didn't work on Alabama. You know, it didn't work on elite teams. It didn't work on Wisconsin. It didn't work on Alabama. But it worked on, you know, your run-of-the-mill defenses. And Louisville's defense is mediocre. Yeah. So I think LSU is going to be able to run the ball well, and I don't know if Louisville is going to be all that excited to be playing in the Citrus Bowl.
But if Louisville does show up, this should be a fun, high-scoring game.
It definitely has the makings.
Yeah.
But I think also LSU is going to be, like, excited because Ed Orgeron got the job, and there's going to be like, hey, you know, let's set a good tone for next season.
The Coach O show, if you will, that game. And then at the same time, it's a bit of a Sophie's choice here, you have the Tax Slayer Bowl. Georgia Tech, Kentucky. Georgia Tech favored by 3.5. Give me Kentucky. This is their Super Bowl.
Give me Georgia Tech all day on that one. I don't think Kentucky's going to be at all prepared to face that Paul Johnson offense. I think he's going to run all over them.
Yeah.
The Stoops, and then, when have those Stoops boys ever been able to defend that system?
I'm not sure ever. But I feel like this is Kentucky's year to get to 8 wins. I figured this is like the best year in Kentucky football history.
Paul Johnson like exists to ruin other people's good times.
That's true. So I think we're going to disagree there. I'm going to go with Kentucky. I'm going to take the emotional pick, which is what you're definitely supposed to do in your gambling. And that's it for New Year's Eve. Yeah. And that's it for New Year's Eve, right? There's no other. They wouldn't schedule like the playoff. Oh.
Yeah, why would they put big games on New Year's Eve? Who's going to watch that? Oh, wait.
Yeah. But 3 o'clock, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl from right here in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. Number 4, Washington.
Go?
No. I'll be working. Washington. Alabama favored by 14 points. I like Washington to make it close. If we see an upset in any of these playoff games, this is it.
I'm going to take Washington with that spread.
Yeah.
I don't think they're actually going to win. But I see reasons to think they could. Alabama's passing offense isn't all that good. Washington has an excellent, pass defense.
Mm-hmm.
And Washington, if you're going to give me a coach who'd be able to come up with a game plan to upset the best team in the country with, 3 weeks to prepare, it's Chris Peterson, right? That's the guy. This is the guy that you would put, if you had to bet on who could swing an upset, it'd be this guy. It'd be this coaching staff. They've done it so many times.
What I'm going to be looking for in this game is I expect this game to be close at half. That's most Alabama games. They're usually close at half. And then Alabama wears you down. Usually have a big run or get an interception.
Or they get a big special teams play because, their third stringers are all 5-stars. Eventually, they're going to run a punt back or something.
Yeah. But if pardon my pun, but if the Huskies can survive that first hide from Alabama, I think they can survive. Because this is a really talented Washington team. They're supposed to be here, And like I said, if they can get past that first hump and take some lumps and stay in the fight, Washington can keep this close and maybe make it a close one for Alabama here.
And if they can just avoid, the back-breaking turnover.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing Alabama's offense is nothing special. But all year long, they've gotten that back-breaking interception, that back-breaking fumble recovery that just takes the wind out of their opponent and, how are we going to upset this team if we're spotting them points?
Yeah.
If they can avoid those mistakes, they got a shot. They got a shot. Anybody who tells you they ain't got a shot works for, AL.com and doesn't know that any programs exist outside of the central time zone.
I think we both like Washington to maybe beat the spread there, but we probably both think Alabama just has too much talent for it. And that's not to say Washington isn't talented, but Alabama has a lot of talent on that team.
There is a definite talent. There's a definite talent mismatch there because Alabama's had the number one recruiting class in the nation for 8 years running, and Washington has been recruiting in the 20s and 30s.
And
it's a well-coached team. It's a Chris Peterson team, so you can't count them out, but there is just this huge talent mismatch.
And here's the other crazy thing. This is probably one of the more least talented Alabama teams in recent memory, it feels like.
they don't have three Heisman running backs this year.
After that, 7 o'clock, ESPN, the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl, the second semifinal playoff game, Ohio State-Clemson. Ohio State's favored by 3. I like Clemson to win here.
Yeah, I think that's weird. I think Clemson's proven themselves. I don't know why Ohio State has gotten so much benefit of the doubt. I've come to understand and gotten over the fact that, you know, they probably belonged in the bowl game ahead of Michigan. Penn State.
Oh.
You know, I could deal with that. But it seems very weird to me that there's like this level of respect given them over Clemson, because it's like, well, like, the worst quarterback in the playoff is JT Barrett by far, yeah. Right? Like, it's not even really close.
No, and Watson, and you could argue Watson maybe is the best player, period, in the
playoff. Yeah, Watson's the best player in the whole playoff. Yeah. And, you know, Clemson survived a better conference schedule. Mm-hmm. I know Ohio State had to beat more elite teams, but week to week, the ACC was better.
And Clemson still went through the best teams of the ACC. They still beat Louisville, and they still beat FSU.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not like they skated by and didn't play the two other really good teams in the ACC, and they won those games, maybe not convincingly at times, but they still won those games.
And they've got a transitive situation. Like, the team that beat Ohio State lost to the team that beat Clemson. Yeah. So, you know, if we're going to be playing games about, oh, you lost to Pitt, well, that Pitt team beat the team that beat you. So I know that we're starting to get, like, formulas going here and math going on here. But, it, you know,
that's
it's,
what happens,
it's, yeah. It's not like Pitt's a bad team.
Yeah.
You know, Pitt's a good team. Their coordinator just got stolen away by LSU. That's,
and
you know.
I think people forget, it's not like, you know, I know Urban Meyer's sitting there, but it's not like Dabo Sweeney's a really bad coach. So even the coaching advantage isn't that much better for Ohio State. I think Clemson, maybe we're both wrong, Dan. We've been wrong a lot this year, but I think we both like Clemson to win here, and I don't feel too bad about thinking that.
I just think if there's any big difference is that I do believe Urban Meyer is a better in-game coach.
Yeah.
Swinney, I think, has proven himself every bit as strong as any of those coaches at program building, but he's a bit of like the modern-day Mac Brown. Where it's like,
yeah.
He's great at recruiting, he's great at building a staff, he's great at, you know, being ready to, you know, building an overall program and seeing talent. When it comes time to game day, do you really trust Dabo against a Nick Saban or an Urban Meyer?
Yeah.
The answer is probably no.
But when you have a player like Watson, sometimes the game planning doesn't matter, because that's a guy who can make something happen. You can turn chicken shit into chicken salad.
And Mac Brown has a title. And, like, that's the other thing. Like, yeah, Mac Brown, I would never say that Mac Brown was the best in-game coach, but sometimes when you get yourself a Vince Young or you get yourself a Deshaun Watson, you know what? Having the best answers X's and O's wise, hey, that's that old saying. It ain't about X's and O's, it's about Jimmys and Joes. When you got the Jimmys and the Joes, and they got JT Barrett, I'll take what Clemson's got.
So we both like a rematch next Monday of last.
And the other thing to keep in mind, Ohio State's lost coaches. Like they've got their defensive coordinator is leaving to go to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Clemson's coaching staff, from what I've heard, like it's all staying together. They don't have those outside distractions of, you know, coaches, key coordinators.
I don't think anyone's going to UConn. One's going to UConn.
Brent Venables ain't taking the UConn job. He's getting paid like $1.5 million to just worry about defense.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to go flush his career down the toilet to go coach UConn for an extra $300,000.
Okay, and then because it is a Sunday, the NFL will own New Year's Day, which is always kind of weird for a college football fan, but
yeah,
it should be a fun day.
It feels
regardless.
Dirty.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't feel right, but I get it. The NFL does get Sunday. It's kind of a religion, I think. So
yeah.
I think it's in the Bible, in the back somewhere.
They should have their regular season wrapped up before New Year's Day, and then like have a week off before the playoffs when this
happens. There's no money in that day.
Stretch out that season. Stretch it out.
But then Monday,
get the NFL season leaking further into February sweeps.
Or
try to get it into February.
Maybe they just throw all the last week's games all week if New Year's Day is going to be on a Sunday. So we just get Monday through Saturday of nothing but NFL games. I mean, it's only the last week of the season and the most important. So let's give some teams, you know, 3 days rest to make some things happen. Yeah. But then Monday, 1 o'clock, on ABC, Florida, Iowa. Florida favored by 3, probably, but I'm just... Yeah, I'm not sold either way on either of these teams, because Iowa's been weird at times, and Florida's been pretty bad.
Iowa has no talent, and Florida has no idea what they're doing.
Florida ain't got no coach.
like Florida's coaching staff, like where everybody looks at Florida's coaching staff and goes, are we really sure these guys know what they're doing? Like, are we totally sure they're like, they know? Like, are we positive? Are we positive on this? And then Iowa is like, we know what Iowa's going to be. We know Iowa's not going to turn the ball over. We know Iowa's going to run for 3.5 yards a carry. We know that on third down they're going to go 5 wide and everybody's going to know what they're doing. Like, they're going to be the most obvious team in the world. You're going to know they're going to play cover 2 defense. But, like, does Florida have any of the stuff to beat that? Because, like, when I see Florida, I see, like, Aldi, Michigan. And Iowa beat Michigan. Iowa beat, like, Iowa beat Macy's Michigan. How is Aldi, Michigan going to beat them?
Yeah, that's the issue. But you know what? That game's at 1 o'clock. There's another game at 1 o'clock. So I wouldn't even watch that game.
Oh, God, no. Unless you're like a Florida grad, you should not be anywhere near that.
Yeah. I would look over at ESPN, which I thought this game was on Fox, but apparently it's on ESPN. The Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic. Western Michigan, Wisconsin. Wisconsin favored by 8.5. I like Western Michigan to beat that spread. This game's way more important to them than it is for Wisconsin.
Poor Cotton Bowl got stuck with the group of one champion.
Yeah. But it's one that at least has a coach that might get people interested, to be fair.
Yeah, but like Western Michigan does. Leader. Here's the thing about Western Michigan. Most of their grads are probably, if they're spending money to travel to a bowl, they're probably spending money on trips to Miami to go see the Wolverines, who are their actual favorite team.
Yeah.
they just went to Western Michigan because they couldn't get into Ann Arbor.
But you can't beat a trip to Dallas, to be fair. It's not like Dallas is a bad
Is Dallas that much of a destination?
Yes.
Is
Dallas
it?
Dallas is super fun. Yeah.
I mean WrestleMania didn't do all that well there.
I mean, yeah, it only did like 100,000 people.
It did like 60. They had like 40,000 cops. It was kind of a disaster.
There are a lot of strip clubs. Listen, there's a lot of strip clubs there.
You're saying that like all these WWE WWE fans came to Dallas to get a ticket, but then they got distracted by Whores of Babylon.
No, I'm saying a lot of those WWE fans are fail sons, and let's just assume the Western Michigan fans, a lot more happening, cool people. Dallas is a fun town, though. I would love to go to Dallas, especially if I'm stuck in boring old Michigan.
I feel like if I'm in Western Michigan, I would still rather go to Miami.
Yeah, we'll do. You'd rather go to Miami than a lot of places, but I'd rather go to Dallas.
I don't think Dallas is like this big tourism destination. Like the traffic's all screwed up.
Oh no, it's a
big sprawl city where like nothing's connected to anything else.
But it's like Atlanta. It's a fun city. Like you don't want to live there.
It's not. Nobody would ever say Dallas is. There's not one person on earth who would ever say Dallas is comparable to Atlanta.
There's a lot of people, actually. We'll get into this later. Dallas is
nobody. No, I'm going to go Bill Simmons. Nobody denies this, that Atlanta is on a different level from like Dallas and Houston.
But Dallas is bigger than Atlanta, and they're very similar
cities.
Oh,
it's bigger. Oh, brother, it's bigger. I don't know why. I'm talking about WrestleMania, and I'm doing a Hulk Hogan. Brother. Like, yeah, Houston's bigger than Atlanta, too, and nobody likes Houston. There's not one person who's ever gone to Houston and ever been to Atlanta and said, boy, howdy, I really liked Houston more than Atlanta. Like, that person doesn't exist.
But you know what? I had fun in Dallas, so...
Atlanta is one of the cultural capitals of the United States. Houston is a big city thrown together because they found oil there.
Well, regardless, Dallas, still a fun city. You'd have fun if you went.
I mean, I guess I'm gonna go to Dallas. I have people in Dallas, but it's like I never hear like the people I know in Dallas like, oh man, this is the best city. This is so great. Like they basically talk about it like it's Charlotte but bigger.
But I'd rather go to Dallas than Charlotte. But speaking of
the
place,
but like the fact it's comparable.
But speaking of places you don't want to
go. Okay, Dallas or Nashville?
Dallas.
See, I don't know if that, I don't know if I say that that quickly. I feel like it's the same place. One's just further along in the development of southern megapolis.
Let's move on, though, to a place where I think we both agree we want to go. That's Pasadena. That's the Rose Bowl game presented by Northwestern Mutual. USC, Penn State. USC's favored by 6.5. I feel like this is a game that most fans wouldn't mind if a satellite fell in the stadium and killed both fan bases. These are two of probably the most hated
I want the football teams
football.
To be fine.
Yeah.
Just all of their fans.
Yeah. These are probably two of the most hated football teams in America going at it. I think a lot of people will be rooting for USC here, though.
I think they're two. I'm going to use more wrestling talk. They're two heel fan bases that are undergoing slight babyface turns.
Yeah.
Because USC has been bad for long enough that they're starting to get that. Oh, this blue blood is finally competent again. Ain't that fun? People always do that for like a year, where it's like, "Hey, isn't it good? Yeah. They're back being good." And then after, like Michigan, Jim Harbaugh's first year, everybody was happy that Michigan was back. And then this year, everybody hated Michigan again. Yeah.
Ohio State came back and won the national championship, and everybody was like, "Okay,
fuck this." Fuck off. But like USC, it's like, "Hey, they got their shit together halfway through the season. This is fun." And then Penn State, it's like, "Hey, James Franklin, he won a Big Ten title."
Well,
their offense is really fun to watch.
I think you're the only person, Dan, who's forgetting.
I think almost everybody but you likes James Franklin.
No, there are plenty of other people with me.
Everybody but the only people who dislike James Franklin as much as you is old Penn State fans who you hate. Like that's your weird alliance you have with those people is that you both dislike James Franklin.
I don't like James Franklin because he went to Penn State, just like I wouldn't like somebody who went to go work for like the Nazis. So
look, we do this every week. Nobody who was involved in Joe Paterno is still there at Penn State.
It doesn't matter.
Like you don't. Am I supposed to still hate the death penalty? Are we supposed to still hate the Germans?
Yes.
At what point do we... Why? Like, that's not fair.
You just gotta suffer. Sins of the father, baby. Sins of the father.
Old Testament guy through and through.
Yeah, but let's talk football, though. Who do we like in this game? Because I'm not sure I love USC favored by 6.5 here. Penn State wins.
I think in some ways USC's a bit of a pretender in that they rip... Like, they didn't play well early in the year. I know they got better and they switched quarterbacks. But I think part of it is that they hit that soft-ass Pac-12 South schedule.
Yeah. Well, they did beat Washington.
They did beat Washington. That's their one good win. But Penn State beat Ohio State. So, yeah. I mean, that's not chopped liver. That's not an unimportant win to have on your resume. And they beat Wisconsin.
Yeah, really solid team.
Okay, yeah, here's the thing. Who's USC's second-best win?
Yeah. Like Utah, maybe?
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like Penn State has beaten a larger variety of excellent teams. They're more battle tested than USC. I feel like USC came into the season being a bunch of lackadaisical grab asses, went on a hot streak playing crap ass teams like Arizona State and UCLA, and now everybody's talking about them like they're top shit. When we've already seen Penn State move the ball on some of the best defenses in the country, they've got that they got that bombs away offense. They're gonna go out there and go for the big deep ball in the passing game. They're gonna hit these long runs. It's all or nothing with them, and I think that's going to be particularly difficult for USC because they're a team that tends to give up. They're a team that tends to not respond well to adversity. And I think the first time Penn State hits one of those big passes off of play action or gets a big long run, USC is going to be kind of, they're going to be, in the famous words of Mike Tyson, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. Penn State has a tendency to punch you in the face. Yeah, I don't know how well USC will respond to that.
I like Penn State especially catching 6.5.
Yeah. Like, why is USC favored over the Big Ten champion?
Yeah.
for people who are mad that Penn State, if you're mad that Penn State didn't make the playoff, well, like the gamblers don't even think they can beat USC.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why they didn't make it.
And maybe, but we could be wrong. Maybe Vegas is right. But I feel like this is another one. Like, I feel like they're getting a lot of these bowl games wrong, but that probably means I'm getting them wrong. But let's move on to the main event. Monday Night Football, if you will, on ESPN. 8:30, the All-State Sugar Bowl. The honorable Auburn Tigers take on the dastardly Oklahoma Sooners, who support men who beat up women. Oklahoma favored by 3. It's Bob Stoops. He's going to lose.
Don't you kind of think Oklahoma's going to get a bump from Barry Switzer's awesome prank he pulled? Did you hear about this?
No.
So Barry Switzer was in New York over like a week ago, and he happened to notice that the naked cowboy walked into Trump Tower. So he followed him in because he was curious what was going on. He walked in, walked around Trump Tower lobby, went up to Starbucks and got a coffee, walked out, and then all these media started asking him, like, what are you doing? Hey, what happened? They said, oh, yeah, I just met with Trump. He's decided to make me the Secretary of Offense, and we're going to make the wishbone great again. And then he just walked away, and all these dumbass political reporters just said, well, Trump met with Barry Switzer. And then, like, a day and a half later, some sports guys called Barry Switzer to confirm it, and he said, hell no, I didn't meet with Trump. I just went and got a coffee and told those dumbasses that. And they believed me. Which just goes to tell you, as much as sometimes we get the sports media a hard time on this show, the sports media is so much better in this country than the political media, it's not even funny.
That could be half this country's problem.
Like, the sports media will actually follow up when somebody says something. The political media just goes, well, they told it to us.
But how do we feel these teams match up? Because you mentioned earlier, Stoop Boy's not so great against these weird option-y offenses. Does Auburn run all over Oklahoma? Especially with their best running back coming back?
I think Oklahoma's going to kick ass, because I just don't think Oklahoma's very good. Like, I think Oklahoma is the king of a shit pile. The Big 12 is bad. They're the best team of a bad conference. Like, the Big 12 got completely shellacked in non-conference play this year. Two teams ran all over Oklahoma running, I won't say similar offenses, but run-based spreads.
Like,
Houston and Ohio State.
In the same family, to be fair.
Both did pretty much whatever they wanted to do against Oklahoma. I ain't really sure. I mean, I'm not saying Auburn is not Ohio State, but are they that much worse than Houston? Nah, not really. Mm-hmm.
And Auburn had the best, I think they had the best rushing attack of any major program. So, like, they've run the ball against pretty good teams. Like, as an Auburn fan, I'm more excited for next year at this point. So, this is one of those games where maybe I don't care about it as much. But I think the Auburn defense has played good all year. And I like Auburn here. Even if I wasn't a fan, I'd probably like Auburn to win here.
I said it earlier in the show, my plan throughout this bowl season has been go against the Big 12. This is go against the Big 12. I think Auburn is going to be better than them anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, even if Oklahoma was in the Pac-12, I'd probably still pick Auburn. I think it's a better matchup for them.
Yeah, I think just with that running attack, and Sean White's healthy. So
also, they have the power of Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on that. Let's work as many cliches into that as possible. People forget that.
Got two football guys going at it.
Yeah.
But this, I'm excited for this Monday slate. I think this will be a fun game. I feel like these are two offenses who can maybe both score. But we'll see how good that Auburn defense really is. But I'm interested in this one. I think Monday's going to be a fun slate of games, actually. I'm really interested in that Rose Bowl game. I think the Cotton Bowl is going to be a fun time.
I'm just sad I won't get to see it.
Because
I'll be working. So I'll have to have you tell me what happens.
Yeah. I'll call you and give you the live feed.
Yeah.
Like it's an old school situation. But, Dan, okay, but next week we both think Clemson, Alabama in the rematch. We'll talk about what happens next week. But, as we kind of wind up our college football season, any New Year's resolutions for any particular teams or programs?
I think we should all, and I mean, and I touched on this when we were talking about the Rose Bowl. Please, please, God, don't start next year with USC ranked like second. Like, please, God, don't do that. Because we know how this goes. Every year we put USC in the top five, and then they get humiliated early in the season, and we forget it because they beat a bunch of bad Pac-12 South teams every year. They look impressive for like four games a year, and we just forget that they're USC and they're not that great.
What are my big resolutions that I think we learned even more this year? Don't hire a coach from Cincinnati. Because we see Notre Dame and Tennessee both in major problems. And little pattern there. Let's put the pieces together.
Well, I don't think we'll have to worry about the last Cincinnati coach getting another job. I don't see Tuberville getting another gig.
Old Tubbs. Coming back. Next Notre Dame coach.
Next head coach of UAB, Tubbs.
Yeah. Who, okay, but we had, me and Wes, it was on the deleted show, but I do want to bring this up. In the NFL today, we had Rex Ryan.
I'll do my Wes impression.
Yeah.
I'll try to deepen my voice.
We'll turn the voice down.
Yeah, I'll try to sound sexier.
We had Rex Ryan get fired today. Me and Wes have this dream of Rex Ryan going to the NFL, going to, like, a Syracuse, winning 8 games every 5 years, and just being a lot of fun. We don't necessarily really believe Rex Ryan will go to college, Dan. But if he did, where do you see Rex Ryan winding up to fulfill this little dream fantasy? Because we think he'd be a lot of fun in college, I think. Because he could have his way with the media.
I'm not sure he'd... I want to just state for the record, I don't think he'd be a very effective NFL coach. Yeah. Because he's not really a disciplined guy. He's more of a player's coach. And that's not always a great idea for college, because you got a bunch of young guys who don't really know how to act. Like, a lot of times you kind of have to be the disciplinarian, because you're literally these kids' dads, because they're like 18.
Yeah, especially these days, because like, I would use an example, like maybe Jimmy Johnson at Miami was a bit of a player's coach at times.
He was a hard ass. He was like a real, like, red-assed, hard-ass.
Well, this guy's like, got away with stuff.
He was a boot camp guy who would let his best players get away with things, but then, like, cut their best friend. He did weird psychological bullshit on guys.
Yeah. Well, I think Ryan, though, I think if you plug him at Syracuse, I think he could be successful building a defense.
That's my other big worry, is I worry that his defense is too complicated for for college kids.
Yeah.
There's too many different looks and packages and blitz things, and I also wonder if any of those blitzes work in college, where you have so many mobile quarterbacks who can just run away from the blitz.
Yeah.
But all that said, what coach would be, like, what program would he fit the best at?
Yeah.
It would probably be Boston College, right?
Yeah.
Like, they don't care about the offense being putrid. They tend to want to always hire defense-oriented coaches. They like NFL experience. You know, they've had Tom Coughlin and Tom O'Brien, you know, were two of their more successful coaches. Jeff Jagowski was their head coach for like 2 years. I think was an assistant for Rex Ryan at one point in his career. So there's similarities there. There's overlaps. And he wouldn't be successful there, just like every other coach in Boston College hasn't been successful since Tom O'Brien.
Yeah. What about this, though? What if we stick some team in the Fun Belt, brings back the 4-6 defense, like his dad, and we just see what the hell happens?
I think it would get killed.
But wouldn't it be fun for a season to see, like, Western Kentucky run the 4-6?
He couldn't get the Western Kentucky job. That's too good a gig for him.
No, that's too good.
I mean, the 46 defense was a great defense, but one of the things that killed it was that the spread offense was created. Every team in the Sun Belt runs the spread offense, so I'm not too sure about that. You know what? Send him to Georgia Southern and tell him to have an option offense. He's never given a damn about the offense anyway.
I think that'd be fun.
And he just coaches the defense and lets them run their flex bone bullshit.
Well, and you gotta bring his brother in too. That's part of their package deal. You gotta have Rob.
I think Boston College would be the best, because then he could duel for headlines with Belichick locally.
Ooh.
In the Boston market. I think that would just be funny as hell. Maybe Maryland, if their head coach doesn't work out.
Yeah, well, and Maryland, he puts on the weight again. Maryland's known for having a fat coach. I feel like a Maryland's coach should be like 300 pounds plus.
Because you just love, you love the fridge.
I miss the fridge every day, yeah.
Do people even remember Ralph Friedgen at this point?
I do. The people who can.
You hold him in your heart, though.
Yeah. But as we get ready to kind of wrap things up today, we talked about these bowl games. What's the bowl game this weekend you're looking forward to the most? Besides the playoff games.
Okay, besides the playoff game. I would say LSU-Louisville. I'm really excited to see if that LSU defense can counter that great Louisville offense. I want to see if LSU's offense can move the ball on Louisville's defense, and I want to see, you know, can Ed Orgeron kick off his career as the real head coach? Can he kick it off with a bang? Because this is his opportunity to really get a good start. You don't want to already start putting guys on the hot seat when they haven't even had a full season as head coach. Mm-hmm. But if this thing turns bad, like, there's enough people at LSU who are kind of like, we ended up with Ed Orgeron? Really? That if if in his first game they just get blown out, I don't know. That ain't a good spot for Orgeron to be sitting in. I think it's an important game for him.
I think it's an important game, too, for Lamar Jackson.
It's an important game for him because he, down the stretch, didn't really play well, and he ended up kind of winning the Heisman by default because really there was nobody in a position to take it away from him. If anybody else would have had a big year, he kind of would have been in trouble of losing that thing. Some people have called this like the worst Heisman year ever.
Yeah.
He could kind of use a big performance out there to sort of like.
I think too with his,
fucking Lamar
I feel
Jackson,
like his
man.
NFL status too is kind of dropping. He's already hurt because he's a black mobile quarterback, and that
sure
they hate that in the NFL for whatever reason. Because
I can't
talent.
Wait for the anonymous NFL scouts.
Yeah,
every year when there's a black quarterback and the anonymous NFL scouts come out and say that basically he can't read.
Yeah,
and he has toe fungus.
Low IQ
and he doesn't know how to shower.
Yeah.
You know. Spends too much time eating watermelon. Like it every year it gets really ridiculous.
It's really racist. But I think
there's
this is
no,
the game
there's
where
no,
he...
like literally yeah. There are like neo-Nazi websites less racist than anonymous NFL scouting reports of black college quarterbacks.
The weird thing though, like we kind of got into this in one of our one of our first episodes for Y'all Don't Have Guarded. But it's like this weird thing in the NFL. They're not even trying to be racist. It's just like the established thought about how a quarterback should look is very racial. But I don't think scouts mean to be. They're just so caught up in their football bubble that they think
QB
bubbled. Should look like Johnny Unitas. You know,
like basically, if you are not Tom Brady, they're confused.
Yeah,
it's like no quarterback has ever been successful except Tom Brady. And it's like, you guys know that, like, back in the day, teams won with some pretty, like Fran Tarkenton went to 4 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And he was, like, 5'11". He couldn't throw the ball from one end of a house to the other. And just ran the ball all the time.
And he had a bit of a better arm, but there's a little guy named Steve Young who had a pretty decent NFL career, too.
I don't know. And, you know, that Michael Vick guy, he maybe didn't win a championship. Won a lot of games in Atlanta before he got busted for dogfighting.
Yeah, but I feel like, though, like, you do have, like, one bad example, like Michael Vick, and he does kind of hurt a lot of those quarterbacks.
Randall Cunningham carried a lot of really bad Eagles offenses.
Donovan McNabb. I mean, he went to the Super Bowl for all the issues.
Went to 4 straight NFC championship games. Yeah, they only won one of them, but Jesus.
And, we forget... My former boy, Sean King from Tulane.
Sean King has a ring!
Does
it? As a backup, but he was on the team.
That counts.
They were one game away from being in a Super Bowl, you know, when the Rams won it.
Yeah. So that's something we're going to kind of look forward to, though, especially being close to draft time. I think we'll have to get Dan Ford. I think we'll have to get you commissioned on a little scouting report for
different
guys.
Yeah, do you want me to pretend to be an NFL scout?
Yeah, that's what I prefer. Yeah. So, but as we get ready to wrap things up, I want to think back to Christmas. Christmas Day.
Last Christmas. Did you get a chance
to check any sports?
Oh, Christmas sure. Day? The NBA. Yeah. Like, you don't, yeah. you know, everybody's got to tune in for the NBA on Christmas yeah. Day.
So did you happen to catch Cavs Warriors? I'm just curious.
Oh, of course. Didn't want to miss that for the world.
Yeah. I thought that was a great game. Like I said, the NBA, 10 million views, but my point was, the NFL had a pretty bad Pittsburgh-Baltimore game. Was important, two high-profile teams on the NFL Network, and still outdrew the NBA by 5 million, and the NBA was on network TV. So, football's still king.
Yeah, but this is like the first week of the year where anybody's paying any attention to the NBA, and they're going up, like, that's not fair. Because it's the NFL at the peak of what should be their the most interest in the NFL. Because it's down, we're getting into nitty-gritty time, who's going to make the playoffs, you got all this intrigue, versus like, okay, this is basically the first game of the year where you're ever going to give a shit about anything. I don't know. I think the fact that it was that close is a sign that the gap is narrowing.
And we're going to focus more on this next week, Dan. But as we do close out the year of 2016, what was one of your favorite moments of the year, sports-wise?
You mean other than the Cavs coming back from down 3-1 that people forget?
People forget that, yeah. The Warriors blew a 3-1 lead.
Yeah. And then they blew a lead in the Christmas Day game. Yeah. Lost that game.
But this was a wild sports year, though. We saw Cleveland get its first championship in a long time. Chicago Cubs become world champion. We saw Peyton Manning win a championship on his last game ever.
Well, win is kind of a hard way to describe that. More
he won.
Fall ass backwards and not blow it. Did not fail sun it up enough. Like, he didn't ruin their chance to win a title.
But then we also saw, we saw a great, probably one of my favorite college football national championship games in recent memory.
Yeah, Clemson and Alabama, had a humdinger. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
what was one of your favorite moments, though?
To me, was Rhonda this year or was Rhonda last year losing to Holly Holm? Was that December? Or was that?
Can't remember. It was December, January. I fell asleep. I remember that. Okay.
That was one of the stories of the year, at least, was Rhonda Rousey sent into the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
I want to mention that because we are on halfguarded.com, home of MMA. That was a major moment of a major discussion of the year is Ronda Rousey okay? Is like her mind? Does her mind still work? And we're gonna find out this week. So,
is that this week?
I think it's Friday.
Oh,
so tune in for. I mean, our half-guarded people all know that already. But yeah.
So that was talking MMA.
Yeah, it was talking MMA. It's our favorite segment of the week. Talking MMA.
Legally obligated talking MMA segment. One of my favorite sports moments of the year, though. Bartow Colon hitting a home run.
Sure.
That, to me, when I think back to 2016 and how it was such a bad year and all that, I'll point to this clip and I'll say, no year can be bad when that man hit a home run and took about 2 hours to jog the bases.
Savor that, big man. Savor it.
So long.
We may have lost Bowie, but we'll always have Bartolo.
Yeah. And now he's an Atlanta Brave, so we both really enjoy that.
I think one of the things I'm always going to think about is that the Cubs broke one of the longest lasting streaks in professional sports, in one of the biggest sports markets of the country, and kind of nobody cared.
I think everybody cared in the moment, but it does feel like the aftermath, no one really cares.
Compare this to when the Red Sox won.
Okay, I can't.
It's not even half as big a deal.
No. We can argue about this, Dan, because I think you're wrong here, because, I mean, I remember the bar I work at.
Okay.
It was packed with people watching that game. This felt like the most talked about
World Series game be packed?
No.
At a bar?
Not Mets-Royals. No one cared about that game. Or when the Giants win. I think this Cubs game was a lot. I think the long-lasting effect, not as important, but in the moment, it's pretty popular. I think for a minute,
everybody
exploded.
Pretended it mattered, and then they went right back to not giving a crap, three minutes later.
Yeah. But in the moment.
That's weird.
It felt like one of the most talked about sports moments of the year. Like when the delay happened, and then it wasn't.
It's weird to me. It's weird that something so important that was so many years in the making happened, and then everybody sort of went, all right, that happened.
Yeah.
What's that? What track they had in NASCAR this week?
Oh, and, okay.
Where are they racing this week, honey?
I don't think anyone cares about NASCAR anymore, Dan.
I think it's comparable to baseball at this point.
Let's see. This is also your, though, Dan. I think we're both really disappointed in that. This. No major disaster at the Rio Olympics.
Yeah, we were really hoping for a lot of death.
We were really rooting.
Moment.
And then it happened and we stopped caring.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, next week we'll preview the national championship game. Hopefully Wes will be back and we'll look into the week one of the playoffs in the NFL. But our biggest thing, we're going to recap the year that was 2016 in sports. We may have some awards to hand out.
Sure.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
We'll play "Dream On" by Aerosmith, like that one, like ESPN did in Y2K. Yeah. Because hey, the world might be ending. Let's dream on. Yeah. Let's remember.
I believe we'll call this award show. I'm gonna do this on the fly, Dan. The Powies.
I like it. Yeah. I like it.
But I think that's it for this week. Short show. Sorry, difficulties with Wes. But you're probably more excited about watching MMA this weekend. So.
Sure, you're all getting ready to not watch Ronda Rousey. Hey, we might talk about that next week if Ronda Rousey does her big fight, her big comeback, and like two people watch it, which might happen because they're on Friday, which will be funny as shit.
Oh, man. I think that's it for me, Dan, so.
Well, if that's it for you, then that just means that there can be only one thing, and that just means it's time to play the music, Jason.